Campaign 80, the Democratic National Convention. This is a CBS News special report. I'm Reed Collins at our convention headquarters in Madison Square Garden, New York. The convention is in session, hammering away at minority substitutes to the majority platform planks worked out in preceding weeks. Some are Kennedy-supported changes, and some are accepted by the Carter people anyway. On the perimeters of this arena, in command trailers and farther away in plush hotel rooms, another kind of hammering's going on to try to dull the edges that form the ideological difference between Senator Kennedy and Mr. Carter before the really big debate tonight on the Kennedy economic package, which will be spearheaded by an appearance by the senator himself. President Carter's campaign chief, Robert Strauss, says there are real differences remaining.
I'm not going to gloss over the fact that there have been some real differences between on real substantive matters between the president and the senator. Now, there have been many differences that we've been able to resolve and compromise. They were political items and less substantive. But on these crucial gut issues, for example, the $12 billion stimulus proposal of Senator Kennedy, President Carter thinks that would not be good for this nation. While it may be politically appealing in the short run, it would be a disservice to the American people in the long run.
Well, there have been talks between the two camps, and Stephanie Shelton is at Kennedy headquarters in the Waldorf Astoria, where Kennedy, I would like to ask you if the Kennedy people appear at all conciliatory on any of these items, Stephanie.
Actually, Reed, they don't. Paul Kirk, Kennedy's political director, has been telling us all day, he's said it several times, that there really are no meetings scheduled, and that if there is to be any conciliation, it's going to have to come from the Carter people. The Kennedy people are not going to make the first move, and apparently there has been none of this kind of conciliation. Kirk himself is here. If there were any meetings, he would be in on them. Senator Kennedy has just arrived back from the garden after rehearsing his speech, and he is in his room continuing to work on his speech. Told me it was going rather well, and that's about all he said to anybody today. And aside from that, the mood here in the headquarters is that the volunteers are continuing to work on whatever their platform assignments are, and there are signs around saying Kennedy in 84, and I think there's going to be some sort of a demonstration, a spontaneous demonstration tonight. It's not a dead issue because of the platform debates, but no sign at all on this side of any caving in on the Kennedy side.
Well, let's go down and get a report from the floor live now, too, as we sample some of the delegate sentiment and our colleague Eric Engberg.
Reed, the first thing that you notice about this convention floor is that there are no Kennedy banners. Last night, this floor awash with the Kennedy delegates bringing their banners and their placards for this afternoon session and this evening session. I haven't seen one banner or placard brought in.
Maybe they're saving it all for
the
night.
They're probably going to have to save them for the senator's actual appearance. The Carter floor leaders are quietly going about the convention floor, shaking hands, patting on the back, tapping on the shoulder, the Kennedy delegates, making the first moves toward conciliation. I understand from some of the Carter staff people here that the word has gone out to the whip staff, which was so effective last night in delivering him the votes that he needed to win the crucial rule question. The whip staff for today's proceedings has been advised to stand back. Don't push, don't shove, let the Kennedy people vote the way they want to vote. Don't try to pressure anyone as these quiet moves toward conciliation are made. And of course, as Governor James Hunt of North Carolina told me, a Carter delegate and a Carter regional director here on the floor, this is going to be a three-day process now as they attempt to bind up some of the wounds. Hunt said that he believes a great deal depends on how Senator Kennedy is received tonight, the atmospherics surrounding Kennedy's appearance here. And of course, the word has gone out to the Carter delegates to receive Senator Kennedy politely and well.
Well, thank you, Eric. As we can hear in the background down there, the convention is in business, it is in order, and has dealt with a number of platform issues already. My colleague correspondent Neil Strauser can tell us in detail about that, Neil.
Reed, we now in the voting on two minority platform reports this afternoon have a fairly good idea of the relative Carter-Kennedy strength going into tonight. Carter forces won one vote, but they have just lost another in what could be a portent in tonight's debate on other economic issues. The first vote was on Kennedy's proposal for passage now of a comprehensive national health insurance bill rather than President Carter's more gradual approach. It was defeated by about 220 votes, After a debate in which Sylvia Neal of California spoke for the Kennedy proposal and Vermont Lieutenant Governor Madeleine Coonan for the Carter approach.
This party has been committed to controlling health care costs. Those commitments are long overdue. They cannot be met in a piecemeal approach.
If a comprehensive route will be a more difficult route to follow. Addressing the program one step at a time not only increases the possibility of achieving our goal more realistically, but also will enable us to make certain that each chapter of that program will be carefully written, reviewed, and implemented.
The arguments for the Carter side held up that time, Reed, but not on the second vote. On Kennedy's proposal to make jobs the highest single domestic priority, Governor James Hunt of North Carolina argued in vain that Americans should not be told that the fight against inflation is taking a back seat. But on that one, the Kennedy forces won. We don't know, Reed, what the vote is yet, because the telephone polling system supposed to speed the convention procedures is proving very troublesome. It's taken an hour or so for each vote, and the result on this one has not been announced.
Normally, we think you could run through the regular old-fashioned polling of the delegates in about 20 minutes, but perhaps progress is in inverse order here. Let's go to the floor now and pick up a little of the live debate that's going on minority plank number 10. That's the ERA, the strengthened ERA minority suggestion. Deborah Potter, you're down there. What's it like?
The debate has just begun on that minority plank, and Sonia Johnson, a Mormon woman who was excommunicated because of her support for the Equal Rights Amendment, is now addressing the group. This plank would deny party funds to any candidates who do not support ERA. And women's caucus members meeting right behind me are trying to organize their tactics on this plank and the one that follows. The next minority report up for debate supports federal funding for abortion, and backers of both are a little bit confused about how they should proceed on a vote. Some supporters want a voice vote on the first one, the ERA plank, believing it has a better chance of carrying if they don't go to a roll call. Supporters of the second plank believe that a strong roll call vote showing overwhelming support for ERA would give them a better chance of winning the abortion plank. So it's a massive scene of confusion behind me now as Sonia Johnson addresses the delegates. There is a sort of demonstration for ERA also going on. Lots of signs and placards being held up. And the next two votes should be interesting to watch.
And it's possible if the telephone roll call procedure is followed that the convention may fall so far behind that it has a great deal of work yet to do tomorrow. In fact, some people are talking about an early call tomorrow, maybe about 10 in the morning. The co-chairman, Leroy Urbis, took note of this slow telephone business as he addressed the floor just a short time ago.
For your information, the telephone polling system is supposed to save time. If this is an example of how much time we're going to save, we'll be here next month.
Well, everybody's going to be here also in approximately 4 hours to hear the speech by Senator Kennedy in behalf of his minority economic concepts, a speech which could be either his last hurrah or the first shot in the long war that leads to 84. We'll be listening. We hope you will, too. For now, this has been a CBS News special report. This is Reed Collins, CBS News, Madison Square Garden, New York.
Campaign 80, the Democratic National Convention. I'm Charles Osgood reporting from our CBS News convention headquarters at Madison Square Garden in New York. And this evening, we're having what amounts to a town meeting, as this convention puts together the platform that President Carter is going to run on for re-election. And people with strongly held feelings on a broad range of subjects are trying to get the convention to commit the party and the president to specific stands on certain issues, on the economy, on health, on energy, the environment, human rights, women's rights, the military, all sorts of things. And this has become, in this convention, a very complicated business. The platform, as written, even without the minority reports and so on, is some 35,000 words long. That's well over twice as long as the party platform was in 1976. It's actually a book, and its sections are called chapters. Incidentally, in 1976, there was only one minority report filed, and this year there were 23. 18 of those were amendments to the proposed platform made by Senator Edward Kennedy and his followers, who found the platform process a good way of emphasizing the differences between the senator and the president. Along the way here, several of these differences have been compromised away. Some have been resolved by voting minority reports up and down. For example, to date, minority report number 10 was approved. That one will deny the aid of the party, financial, technical, or other aid to candidates who do not support the Equal Rights Amendment to the Constitution. Minority report 11 was approved. That one, among other things, recognizes what it calls reproductive freedom as a fundamental human right. And it puts the Democratic Party on record as opposing any restrictions of funding for health services to the poor, which may deny to poor women the right to exercise a constitutionally guaranteed right by limiting through funding or whatever the reproductive choices that a woman may have. That may mean free abortion or abortion on demand, although the language is not exactly a model of clarity. Anyway, a coalition of women's groups that had advocated these minority planks has been holding a news conference, which Chris Kelly has been at.
The Democratic Women's Caucus was jubilant over passage of the two key platform positions, which were opposed by Carter forces. The party is now on record to boycott Democratic candidates who do not support the Equal Rights Amendment and endorses federal funding of abortions for poor women. Caucus members called today's vote an example of women's power at the convention. And Betty Friedan, the founder of the National Organization for Women, echoed that feeling.
This was an incredible exercise in the democratic process. Those of us that were in, you know, in the 3 a.m. meetings and saw the dynamic of how this happened, saw people's minds change, saw people here change their minds, saw, you know, we won't name any names, but male political bosses that sent their women in to try to convince the women's movement that they should compromise, that they should go away, that they should withdraw, and they went back and convinced their male political bosses that the interest of the political victory in November was to go our route.
But now says it still is not yet prepared to actively campaign for President Carter. Charles?
Chris Kelly, who's been attending that news conference at the Democratic Women's Caucus, will continue in a moment.
Where is that clerk?
Can I help you?
We have to see the hotel manager.
Right away.
I'll get him.
In hurry. Oh, John.
It's okay.
Our vacation's ruined.
Don't worry, honey. Please, maybe we can find someone who'll
help. Hi, I'm the hotel manager.
Oh, listen, we've lost our traveler's checks.
All of them. What should we do?
Well, what kind were they?
American Express.
Right. American Express. Come on, I've got their number right here.
You can call for help anytime from anywhere in the country with American Express traveler's checks. Ask for them by name.
Dave Collins of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Does Quaker State really help cars last?
Yes, sir. Quaker State sure does. I own a 73 Chevy Nova. It's got over 100,000 on it, and I've used Quaker State in it all the time. All except for the first mile when the car was first purchased. I regularly tune my car, points plug, Quaker State, the whole nine yards. I'm real enthused about the product. Even started using the Quaker State filter.
Quaker State helps cars last. Maybe that's why Quaker State is America's number one selling motor oil.
This book that is the Democratic Party platform, the proposed platform, is not being read in sequence. Some of the chapters have already been approved, and we are just now turning to chapter one, which is the economy. And we are in the course of an hour-long debate on some of the minority reports on chapter one. Senator Kennedy is going to be speaking to this platform, on this subject of the platform in Chapter 1 in a little while. George Herman in our analysis booth. Is the senator's address considered a part of this debate, George?
Yes, he is the final speaker in the debate. Let me just straighten out where we are. We are now, the subject before the convention at this moment is the minority report, the Kennedy followers minority report, which is an amendment to the platform. The debate over the minority report is being chaired by Mayor Coleman Young, the mayor of Detroit. The first two speakers have been proponents of the minority report. First was Governor Brennan of Maine, who said to the delegates, "I ask you to save the economic soul of the Democratic Party." Now we have before us Congressman Richard Gephardt of St. Louis, who is also a proponent. They will be followed by some opponents, those who oppose the minority report and stand for the platform as adopted and do not wish it amended. And then Senator Kennedy, as a proponent of the minority report, Report will be the final speaker. So the proponents of the Minority Report start the debate, and they are given the privilege with Senator Kennedy of ending it about an hour from now. And at the moment, the speaker is Congressman Richard Gebhardt of St. Louis.
If anybody forgets these values, then we're adrift. But on that cold, wintry day in January of 1977, when Jimmy Carter was inaugurated, America's government was reunited in a democratic partnership between the President and the Congress. That partnership set out to shape a creative new mix of policies that address the realities of today. Progressive realism, if you will, has set sail on a long voyage toward economic recovery and stability. We must continue on that course. Franklin Delano Roosevelt said we were on course when we put Americans back to work, and the Majority Report says just that. The National Accord between Business, Labor, and Government to solve inflation will do as well. Hubert Humphrey's name is committed to full employment, and the Majority Report continues that goal. 8.5 million total new jobs over the last 4 years, and over 1 million jobs through direct government programs is the course we have set. John Kennedy fashioned a tax cut in 1962 that stimulated production.
The speaker is Congressman Richard Gebhardt of St. Louis. He was introduced by Chairman O'Neill as a proponent of the Minority Report, but as you can hear from what he is saying, he is not a proponent of the Minority Report. He is an opponent of the Minority Report. He is defending the platform as it is written.
The administration also know that your sacrifice, your tax burden will be for naught if the course does not also follow a budget policy that fights inflation by reducing deficits. Jack Kennedy put a man on the moon. The Majority Report will put our economic spaceship on solid ground. That same ground is the foundation on which Lyndon Johnson waged his war on poverty. A like course is followed in the Majority Report to combat the recession through public service jobs, youth jobs, Medicaid, and food stamps. Yes, America, we care. And it was Jimmy Carter in 1976 who said, as the Majority Report reiterates today, that the best government is that which governs our needs. Our course must be...
Congressman Gebhardt addressing the convention. As George Herman has told you, he was introduced as a proponent of the Minority Report and as an opponent of it, and actually is speaking in favor of it. But they will alternate between opponents and proponents of the Minority Reports. There are three of those, one, two, and three, all relating to Chapter 1 of the proposed platform, that is to do with the economy. And Senator Kennedy will be giving his talk on Report 3, which is the Senator's anti-recession program. We'll be continuing with our coverage from Madison Square Garden. This is Charles Osgood, CBS News, New York.
CBS News. The second session of the Democratic National Convention in New York has adopted a strong plank in support of the Equal Rights Amendment, agreeing to withhold financial and technical support to Democratic candidates who fail to support ERA. This is John Bohannon reporting on the CBS Radio Network. One of the speakers on behalf of the plank is the president of the National Organization for Women, Eleanor Smeal.
It's time to take strong measures and to withhold support for those who say women are inferior, and to stand strongly and united here today and to show this country that we mean what we say when we say we support the ERA and we're willing to fight for it.
Delegates approved a plank which opposes restrictions on government financing of abortions for poor women, but Presidential Assistant Sarah Weddington says it's one of the planks Mr. Carter doesn't agree with, and she says it's her guess that the president won't support it. The convention has also given Senator Kennedy his first floor victory by accepting a platform plank pledging that jobs will be the administration's single highest domestic priority. President Carter's forces have opposed the measure. Kennedy will speak this evening during a debate on economic issues. The president of the International Machinist Union, William Wempisinger, says he'll lead a walkout Thursday night at the convention. He's a member of the Maryland delegation. His union supports Senator Kennedy. Wempisinger explains his action.
We're not walking out on the Democratic Party. We're walking out on Jimmy Carter, because we believe he walked out on us, and that somebody has to be made aware of that by whatever device we can create. And secondarily, that we want to call attention to the fact that we are fed up with the kind of an operation that presents to us each succeeding 4 years, the notion that we have to tumble to the lesser of two evils in the political arena.
Another dissident delegate is former governor of Wisconsin, Patrick Lucey. He quit today as a delegate because of the defeat of the so-called open convention rule, and he says he may support John Anderson. More CBS News in a minute.
Good tools deserve the best care, and True Value Hardware stores think your most important tools are your hands. Hi, Pat Summerall to remind you that to protect your hands from blisters, scratches, and cuts caused by rough work, you need quality work gloves like the kind manufactured by Wells Lamont. Wells Lamont jersey work gloves are made of 100% cotton and will protect your hands while installing insulation, moving furniture, or painting. And let True Value Hardware stores help take the sting out of yard work with the Wells Lamont Woman's Garden Glove of white cotton with colorful polka dots. Your hands can be handier when you protect them with Wells Lamont gloves and your choice of men's and women's styles and sizes from participating True Value Hardware stores and home centers. And remember, you can save gas, too, because you won't have to drive far for your hardware and houseware needs. So if you're looking for values, for service, and for selection, you'll find them nearby at any one of the more than 5,000 True Value Hardware stores and home centers. And don't forget, they're located nationwide.
Results are expected later tonight in a ratification vote by hotel employees in San Francisco. Negotiators reached a tentative agreement last weekend, and union officials recommended acceptance by the rank and file. The strike by hotel employees began nearly a month ago. There's been an agreement in Boston between city officials and municipal workers, and sanitation crews are now picking up 5 days of garbage that piled up in parts of Boston during a strike. Union leaders had accused Boston city officials of using certain union supervisory jobs as political patronage. Egypt has released the text of a letter President Sadat sent to Israeli Prime Minister Begin more than a week ago. Sadat denounces Israel for its formal annexation of the Arab section of East Jerusalem and for building settlements on occupied Arab land. Sadat describes the Israeli action as completely null and void. Egypt has indefinitely postponed talks on Palestinian self-rule because of Israel's action. Ayatollah Khomeini met during the day with virtually all major leaders in the revolutionary government of Iran. The Ayatollah reportedly gave them advice on choosing a new government and called for an atmosphere of understanding in the country. The military government in Bolivia has rejected an appeal from Amnesty International to release the names of people killed or put into prison since the military takeover last month. Bolivia calls the organization a poorly disguised political group. President Carter has declared much of southern Texas disaster areas because of damage by Hurricane Allen. At least six counties are covered, and Governor Bill Clements is asking now for additional coverage to include three other counties. The governor says he expects damage to be more than $600 million. Now this.
A message from CBS News. As the Democrats build their convention platform, many Americans have questions about the vital issues the party will debate in San Diego.
I'm making about the same amount of money that I made a year ago, but it's costing me about 25% more to live now, so actually I've got, like, not a pay raise, but I've been demoted in pay.
Do the Democrats have an answer? Complete convention coverage continues this week on the CBS television network.
You bet I'll be watching.
Denture wearers agree.
Snug cushions hold loose dentures so comfortably tight, I feel confident again.
Soft adhesive Snug brand denture cushions ease sore gums from loose-fitting plates. No messy fixing like powders or pastes. Snug is easy to shape and fit, won't wash off. Get temporary relief from loose-fitting dentures until you see a dentist with Snug. Now in the new four-cushion economy package. Snug, another fine product from Mentholatum.
Wall Street was down today after a recent rally, but one analyst says the pullback is normal with profit-taking. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed down nearly 12 points. Volume on the big board was more than 52 million shares. John Bohannon, CBS News.
Campaign 80, the Democratic National Convention. This is Reed Collins reporting from CBS News Convention Headquarters at Madison Square Garden in New York. The great debate has been joined over the Kennedy economic ideology as opposed to that of President Carter. It comes in the form of the minority plank written by Kennedy's supporters, which calls for a $12 billion domestic jobs program, a $1 billion railroad renewal program, and on this issue, Senator Kennedy is making his last stand. In something like half an hour, the senator himself will be up there on the rostrum defending his concept. On the floor now, our colleague Eric Engberg, where I think, Eric, they must be getting ready.
Yes, they are, Reed. For much of the day, you wouldn't have known that Senator Kennedy was a candidate here at this convention. There were no Kennedy hats or banners in the wake of last night's defeat on the critical rule question. But here in the last 2 hours, the Kennedy campaign has come back alive on the floor as his advance men and delegates are going to try to send him off from this convention with a celebration. Kennedy blew balloons and banners and signs sprouting all over the convention floor, and his staff people have been holding meetings reminding the delegates that are Kennedy supporters that they should save the demonstration for the end of the speech, not for the beginning of it, because under the rules of this convention, any demonstration or applause prior to the speech will cut into the senator's allotted speaking time. So they are planning a large-scale demonstration that some of them say is actually the start of Edward Kennedy's 1984 campaign. Reed?
Well, the senator has left his headquarters. He's en route to Madison Square Garden for the speech, which we should be hearing in about half an hour. We'll hear more from the convention right after this.
It's your way of looking good.
Some beautiful color to your summer with Avon's exciting new color cream makeup. Moisturizing makeup with color that lasts and lasts through long summer days.
You've got lots of things to do, so we bring Avon right to you. It's Avon Summer Ready. You never look so good.
Denture wearers agree.
Snug cushions hold loose dentures so comfortably tight, I feel confident again.
Soft adhesive Snug brand denture cushions ease sore gums from loose-fitting plates. No messy fixing like powders or pastes. Snug is easy to shape and fit, won't wash off. Get temporary relief from loose-fitting dentures until you see a dentist with Snug. Now in the new four-cushion economy package. Snug, another fine product from Mentholatum.
On the convention floor, the debate continues over the economic package, the suggestion from the Kennedy supporters that a vastly more ambitious spending program be initiated as an anti-recession device. No matter who is speaking there, and a few moments ago, Alice McDonald, a Kentucky teacher, was speaking in behalf of the majority position, that is the Carter position, when in walked a member of the Kennedy family, Ethel Kennedy. And this was the scene as the speaker was speaking and the crowd was noticing the arrival of a Kennedy.
This Democratic platform, the majority report, pledges to secure the rights of working women, homemakers, minority women, and elderly women to a fair share of our economy.
Of course, the applause and the commotion on the floor had nothing to do with what Ms. McDonald of Kentucky was saying on the rostrum. They just had visually sighted the arrival of Ethel Kennedy, Robert Kennedy's widow. So it goes there, the presence of the Kennedy family and the presence of his concept very much with us on the floor. Carol Bellamy is a New York City Council president who spoke in support of the Kennedy economic plank, that is the minority report.
We must put people back to work, rebuilding the bridges and the streets, the buses and the railroads, the hospitals and schools that have declined along with the tax base that once supported them. We need a national policy to reindustrialize and rebuild America. We need the elements of the Kennedy package. We need an immediate.
And so it was, as the debate goes on and the minor participants really are warming up, the major speech maker in behalf of the minority position will be Senator Kennedy himself. He's now in Madison Square Garden, and he will be probably on the rostrum in about half an hour.